Lord pressed in that I should be using the Amplified this morning, so we're going to obey and use the Amplified. I also want to share just for a brief moment, being had a wake yesterday morning at 8:30. We lost a young man that was dear to my heart, and he was a young man that came into my life many years ago. He also happened to have a challenge. He was Mongoloid. He was definitely not at the bottom of the scale in his challenge. I would say he was extremely bright. His name was Donald Provenzo. His mother, his aunt, his cousin, three cars would drive from Springfield downtown, North End, every single Tuesday night. And they were with us faithfully for years and years. Three carfuls. They came to a little prayer group that was in a cellar of a church on Main Street, Three Rivers. And this young man's mentality would be maybe what you would go for at a third grade level. And you say, why are you sharing that with us? Well, the reason I'm sharing it with you is because God uses children to baffle the wise. So when you think you're so smart, and you got all the marbles in the right place, I want to remind you that our Savior says, I will use the simple to baffle the wise. So yesterday morning as I prepared a sympathy card for this family that I never got to know, because all of his family had gone home to be with Jesus. He was the last one. There were a few family members there. Donald was born February 20th, 1947. So he was actually 61 years old. He died on the day that our Savior resurrected, that the church commemorates as Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. And Donald got criticized every time he obeyed the Lord. Every single time that Donald did what God told him to do, these very religious parents and family members, except for his cousin. His cousin was a beautiful lady, loved the Lord, and she understood obedience. But the previous generation was hunting for Jesus in a religious way. At that time, I was having a major struggle. You've heard me say that 86, 87 were very difficult years for me because I was coming out of religious mindsets. You say, how do you do that? With a big mountain of war. That's what you do. You go into religious thinking without even knowing that you're doing it. You end up observing a list of rules and regulations, and you think God has a big stick and he's going to hit you every time you misbehave. And that's not God at all. And God was trying to show me something at that time. He had three scriptures that he was driving me to my knees with. And those three scriptures were concerning Jesus and the transfiguration that he was looking to do in this generation. So this message isn't for 1987, it's for now. This message isn't for the neighbors, it's for you. The letter, which I located because the Lord gave me a vision of where it was, otherwise I wouldn't have found it, says, Dear Kim, my love I have for the Lord, he helped me so much. When you look at Mark 9, Matthew 17, God will bless all the children of light. I love you so very much. Made the bless, M-A-D-E, may the blessed come to all of you. And look at for the king, 27. I'm going to leave these on the table because they're proof of how God can shatter one that thinks he knows it all. At that time, I was so religiously set, I could not take God's opinion of myself. Some of you need to change your attitude about who you are in Christ Jesus. I know I'm also talking to some of you who are going to listen to this message on the internet. And I'm speaking to you directly. Check those scriptures. They're for now. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Stop the living in the box of your own little brain and mindsets. God is interested in a people that will be his, for his glory, to do what God wants and not what you think is right. What God wants is a people that will manifest the Father in the earth. God wants a people that are going to be so full of love that they're not going to be afraid to serve one another. Say, well, what about your war, Kim? I gave up my war. And I finally agreed that Jesus had a good opinion of me. And that he was able to do abundantly more than I could ask or think. So come with me. Ephesians chapter 3. Ethan, would you kind of snap that light next to the door, please? Verse 20 was written just for me. It says, Now to him who by the power that is at work within me is able to carry out his purpose and do abundantly far over and above all that I dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That takes you right out of your brain. It bypasses your brain and it gets you into the spirit man. It gets you into the eternal creation that you are. The eternal creation isn't for 60, 80, or 100 years. The eternal creation is the real you. The eternal creation isn't limited to 14, 15 years of hardship, or 30 or 50 years of hardship. It is designed to resurrect you and live in the realm of the Spirit as sons and daughters of God now. and to be transformed out of what you think you are to what you are because of God's declaration. What God made you and me to become was made aware not just to you, but also to the enemy who wants to destroy you from the moment you're born. There was a schedule to destroy me before I was born. There was a schedule from the demonic realm to destroy you in much the same way. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. His intent is to get you so down on yourself that you'll never rise and you will never be transformed, no matter which mountain God brings you to. Jesus brought Peter, James, and John on the mountain to show them who he really was. He had two witnesses on that mountain, Moses and Elijah. Moses was a man that was not weak in any fashion, way, or form, and he was 120 years old, and God showed him the promised land, but he didn't let him enter. Elijah was a man just like you and me. That includes women. And Elijah never tasted death because God had a plan for him. You know what it was? So that he could walk into the heavenly realm without a grave. Jesus had to go through the grave that Moses had to walk in. And God the Father took care of the body of our ancestor, Moses, and transformed and transported Elijah into the heavens without a grave, giving a hope to our Savior Jesus Christ that even if you go through the grave, still death will be overwhelmed. And some of us are so focused on this moment that we lose track of eternity. We lose track of why we're in the pain, why we're in the test, why have we been betrayed, so that you can overcome. That's why Jesus came. No matter how difficult your circumstances are, you can overcome through Christ who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13. You can have above and beyond your mentality. In Ephesians 3:20. You see, I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that if Donald had not written me that letter, which he got criticized for, his mother, when she said to me, "Did you get Donald's letter?" And she began to make excuses for herself because she had to address it. She had a religious mindset that she should never have nailed that letter. If that letter wasn't mailed, I wouldn't have the record of the date. If that letter wasn't shown to the lady that took care of Donald yesterday morning, her tears would have been from one level. But when she saw the letter, and she wept with me, and she says, "You know, there are so many little notes that Donald would write, how much the Holy Spirit and him were in love with Jesus." Donald was confined to a wheelchair. The last time he came at the previous place where we were. And he came in his wheelchair, but he was still in love with Jesus. You don't have to be so cotton-picking smart in the brain to know who the Creator is. You don't have to have all this wonderful head knowledge that you could learn this Bible from beginning to end and know every scripture by heart. Yet if you don't know the real Jesus, you fail. If you don't know the one that died for you and resurrected for you, you failed. If you don't know the one that has laid down his life to do it God's way, you failed. But if you trust that he can do abundantly and beyond all that you can ask or believe or even dream about. See, those scriptures that I shared with you that Donald confirmed were impossible for me to believe. And God had to use him to wake me up, to get me out of my brain. Could you do me a favor right now? Just close your eyes for a half a minute. And put your hand on your head. And say, this is a wonderful gift. But if it's been trained by hell, and it's been confused by hell, it's not going to take me through eternity. So I better switch gears. Now put your hand on your tummy. Say, inside of me is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it has transformed my spirit. And inside my inner heart is the presence of the living God. And he can transform me. He can transfigure me. He can translate me.
He can translate
in any way he wishes. And I better get used to it. Because when some people are transformed, and I'm not, I just might get jealous. So if I stay out of my brain, and I get into my spirit man, and I realize how much God has given me.
And I realize how much God has given me.
Inside of me. How wonderful the future will be. Amen? Tap your neighbor. Say, get used to it. What am I doing? I'm trying to get you out of the mindsets that you have been taught that are wrong. And Donald got me to really wake up. He jolted me. He kicked me in the butt. Hard. Now today, he's in heaven. He's having a celebration with his mom and his family and all those that he loves. And I believe with all my heart that we'll all be together one day. And he's going to be shining brighter than many of those wise guys that he had to put up with. So what is this? This wonderful gift of a brain that is so good and full of all the scriptures and yet don't know the one that died for them. I'd rather be Donald than be the president of the United States of America and be so cotton picking smart that I can rule the nations, but I can't even resurrect out of the grave. Bad news for the guys who don't believe. Am I judging our president? Absolutely not. But I'm trying to tell you, Donald had one thing. He was in love with the living Savior that died for him. He was also in love with God's people. He was in love with those that were smart and those that weren't. He was also in love with Mary. You thought I was going to leave you off the hook, huh?
Yeah, I did.
We're teasing because Donald, when he was come every single week, had his eye on Mary because she was definitely available. And Donald loved everybody. Donald was just Donald. And they put the bongo drums that he used to bring every single week inside his casket. I just wanted to weep. Why? Because he'd been transfigured. He's been translated and transfigured. You see, the shell, the outer body that kept him from being normal, is now in the grave. And the man of God is set free to obey and love the Savior Jesus. What are you waiting for? Are you going to focus on every mistake you've ever made? Are you going to focus on every bad decision that you've ever done? Are you focused on all the hopelessness of who you are? Or are you going to focus on the one that can change you? It's up to you. Verse 19. That you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That is, may have the richest measures of the divine presence and become a body. May become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. You say, how can that be? I'm so full of this and I'm so full of that. I just got done telling you. He can do above and beyond what you think. See, it's not all up to me to reason what God can do or how he can do it for me or how he can do it in me. It's up to me to submit. Or we say, have thine own way, Lord, as long as it's my way. Have thine own way, Lord, as long as it's happy for me. Yeah, right. You see, we're what? Contradicting what we sing and what we walk. It's time we sing and walk the same song. He can do all things. He can do all things through me. If I let him, he can fill me to the fullness of God's pleasure. Tap your neighbor. Say, guess what? God's going to fill you with his presence until you're so full, you're going to fall over with love with all your neighbors. But it starts with loving you. So I'll love you even if you don't. Why? Because sometimes we love everybody else and we don't love ourselves. Love your neighbor as love your neighbor as. Can it be done? By a decision. It can be done by a decision. Now, what's the purpose of all this? What is the reason that he did all this work? What was his intention? Okay? Verse 11 of chapter 4. What is the reason you're here today? And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles. Those are called special messengers. Some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries. Some pastors, shepherds of his flock. And some teachers. Verse 12. His intention is visible right in verse 12. Was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up the Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith, in the comprehension of the fullness and accurate knowledge, fullness and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. That we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard heights of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness found in him. That's a mouthful. The fullness can be manifest in us, but it can be manifested us even if we're having trouble with our brain. That's what I'm trying to show you this morning. Even when a young man, 30 years ago, wrote that letter to me, I had to make up my mind that that letter was really God sending a child into my life to wake me up. Why? Because my religious brain said it was impossible. My religious brain did not want to believe God's word for me. My religious brain had to be eliminated. What are you going to do with yours? It's up to you. If you fall in love with Jesus, you'll fall in love with his people. If you'll fall in love with Jesus, you'll be in love with those that are very smart as well as those that are not so smart. And you won't judge them. You'll love them. You're going to love the ones that are bound in sin just as much as you're going to love the ones that are full of God. You're not going to question God's plan. You're going to be able to flow with whatever God wants. And that's his desire and mine for you, as well as those who are listening to this on the internet today. Let the Holy Spirit be your counsel. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Let him comfort you. Let him take you to a higher level, where God's plan is so awesome. You don't want to miss what God has planned for eternity for you. You don't want to miss. So, Father, my prayer for these and those that are listening is that you would pour out the Spirit of grace, that they would be so flooded with your presence that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they can overcome, and let the Holy Spirit be their counsel. And let the confirming voices of the Holy Spirit, because he brings many voices so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying this day. You see, you and I will have a day when we will enter paradise and we will face our Maker, and he's going to say, you did it my way. Praise God. Come and look at what I've prepared for you. And you might be saying, well, what about all these sins I committed? And he'll look at you and he'll say, what sins? I've forgotten. Why haven't you? Take the Holy Ghost eraser today. Erase out of your mind all of those accusing thoughts. And go back to what he says about you. And be obedient. And let him form you in his image. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit continue to press you forward as you go forth in obedience in this week. And share about Jesus and how much he loves you. In his precious name I pray. Enjoy each other's company. Get some hugs. It's time.